Well, it's wonderful to be here with you all again. Advaita Acharya Guru, I was speaking of him there. And he was reminding me as he came in that I first came here for a Diwali program in 1980. Where were you in 1980? Do you remember? Previous lifetime friends. 1980 at Diwali meet, right now, of course, Diwali is just coming up. That's almost 40 years ago. Long association with Lotus Park. Lotus Park is very nice. The people are very nice. And there are many devotees here. And the devotees are always very, very nice. So again, I'm very happy to be here with you all again. What we'll do, we will read a verse from Bhagavad Gita and the purport or part of the purport, and focus on a particular aspect of what is being described there. And that is that we are this month. When I say this month, I mean the lunar month. Not just the regular solar month, but the lunar month. We're in the lunar month, which is called Kartik. It's also called the month of Dhamma. So, Dhamma, of course, is a particular form of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is a small child who was tied up by his mother to be naughty. They sound like, well, they just sound childish. But there's a lot more to it than that. It's a very deep subject, actually. So can we say a little bit about that? And then, if anyone has any questions, I'm not sure, but perhaps a question sheet may be passed out. And then we'll see about that. So if anyone has any questions, they can write them down. And we'll have a look at those questions. And then the program will continue with all sorts of wonderful, exciting, enlivening, and very interesting events. So, for the time being, let us read from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation commentary by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and we'll read from chapter 6, which is titled Dhyana Yoga, and we'll read the last verse of chapter 6, which is verse 47. First of all, please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shlava That is to say, your man, Sari Yukta Dharmo Mataha. Translation. Of all yogis, the one with great faith, who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental love and service to me. He is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. I'm going to read a little bit as I said of the purport, but just before I do that, let me just clarify one point regarding what we read just right now. Lord Krishna is talking about someone who is like the topmost yogi, who is practicing the topmost form of yoga. And in that way is connected, united with Lord Krishna. So of course when we hear the term yoga, and a sort of a picture that appears in our minds of someone sitting cross-legged, you know, cross-legged, something like this, you know what I mean? Or something like that, some physical yogic posture. And for certain people, when they hear this term yoga, this is what they think. Yoga means some sort of physical exercise. Of course, there are physical exercises which are part of one type of yoga. One type of yoga, but it is definitely not, it's a misunderstanding that is just what yoga is all about. You must sit in a lotus position or stand on your head, as our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, would say, press your nose, or something like that. This is not. Just when we use the word yoga, it's not limited to that by any means. In fact, this term, this word yoga, as a Sanskrit word, and according to its usage, historically, yoga literally means to link, and particularly to link with God. To link with God. So any process which involves focusing on God in one way or another, or just in some way, physically, like we mentioned, of course, the physical exercises, or mentally, some sort of meditation focusing the mind on God, or doing some sort of service to the Lord. Telling people something about God. These are different forms of yoga in the real sense. And actually how the term is understood traditionally, historically, in India, not just the physical exercises, although that one very small part of it. So to think with God, connect with God, this is what yoga means. And any activity, any process which links you with God in an optimal way, it can be said quite correctly that is a form of yoga. So in that sense, which is the correct sense, then you can say Christianity is the form of yoga. It is the correct way of putting it. Even Islam, the Muslim religion, is the form of the yoga. So that's an important point to understand. Of course, people who follow Western traditions, they normally do not understand. And if you tell them that, they even might not appreciate it as possible. Some of them might get a little upset if you tell them that they're yogis. But anyway, that's actually the fact. So what the Christians say here is that the highest form of yoga is that yoga in which the mind is fixed on Him, and one's life is dedicated to Him, to the Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one's life's activities are dedicated to Him. As we read, Krishna says that this person is most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all yogis. And that's what the process of the Krishna consciousness is about. And this month we're in, lunar month, we're kind of in the middle or thereabouts of the lunar month of Kirti. This particular month traditionally is dedicated to Krishna. And in this month of Kirti, Krishna, because the month is like His month, it's all about Him. So, therefore, Krishna in this month is particularly merciful, particularly kind to those who try to worship Him and serve Him in these ways, like we would say, focus the mind on Him, render service to Him, like that, make it the focal point of one's life. In fact, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, to just illustrate this point, that this month is dedicated to Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates with those who try to make an effort to serve Him this month, like this. He reciprocates in very special ways, far more than usually. And usually, of course, he's also very kind to his devotees. But in this month, especially kind. Srila Prabhupada gave an example to illustrate the idea. He gave the example of a shopkeeper, someone who has small business, a small business, and selling whatever, and making a living that way. So, from time to time, anyone who owns a shop, from time to time, they have a sale. From time to time, they have a sale. And normally, you go into the shop every other time, and you can purchase whatever are the normal products there for the normal price. But when the owners have a sale, then you can get the normal products for less. And we all know what a sale is. So yeah, when there's a sale, you get the regular products but for less. So the way Prabhupada put it was that this month of charity means Krishna is having a sale. What do you think of that? Interesting idea. Krishna is having a sale, so to speak. in that normally what you should get from a missionary, you can get some mercy. In there's certain ways you can get mercy. That Krishna deals with mercy. But if this love was good enough to parity Krishna's love, you can get the same mercy more easily, even much more easily. Krishna is just very open and hearted in this sense of parity. Therefore, the devotees, it is a tradition for thousands of years in the sense of parity, particularly in India, the devotees, in order to make the most of this, the devotees normally try to do more than usual. Support spiritual activity, more Krishna conscious activity, to get more mercy, to give a lot more mercy. And like I said, the personal life is not going to be the month, so you've still got a couple of weeks. And I would suggest to all you nice people from those who serve, take this to heart and see what you can do. See what you can do, something extra for the pleasure of the Lord Krishna. And you will get mercy. You will definitely get sufficient mercy from the Lord. Because he was prepared with his devotees. Right, so let me read there just a little bit. There's a very extensive purport. But I'll read just a little bit of the purport. So, Srila Prabhupada says, it is by great fortune that one comes to Krishna consciousness on the path of bhakti yoga to become well situated according to the Vedic direction. The ideal yogi concentrates his attention on Krishna, who is called Shamsunda, who is as beautifully colored as a cloud, whose lotus-like face is as effulgent as the sun, whose dress is brilliant with jewels, and whose body is flower-garlanded, illuminating all signs, is his gorgeous luster, which is called the Brahma-jyoti. He incarnates in different forms, such as Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he descends like a human being as the son of Mother Yashoda. And he is known as Krishna, Govinda, and Vasudeva. He is the perfect child, husband, friend, and master, and he is full with all opulences and transcendental qualities. If one remains fully conscious of these features of the Lord, he is called the highest yogi. So, let us say the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vachak Krishna, Krishna Krishna, nourishing, training, guiding. These are natural activities of parents. So Mary showed her in this role, like the mother of Krishna, she has her wounds. She was always trying to look after Krishna. How will Krishna be all right? What will be good for him? How to bring him up nicely? So he becomes a good person in due course of time. So Mother Yashoda, that was her life. She was at home with Krishna all day, every day, and her life just revolved around Krishna in those ways, just like her mother. And Krishna, Krishna is, what would you say? He is not exactly like a conservative God. He doesn't just sit there, very formal. He is a very lively character, Krishna. He interacts in all sorts of amazing and wonderful ways. And sometimes, Krishna was naughty. Prabhupada made that point that Krishna, as you could say, the original child, sometimes he was naughty. But because he's God, when Krishna was naughty, he was good. Prabhupada put it, when Krishna was good, he was good. And when Krishna was bad, he was good. This is Krishna. Even if you may have heard, I imagine many of you have heard, there is a name, another name of Krishna. So many names are there in terms of his activities. So there is another name of Krishna, Makhan Chor. Are you familiar with that name? Anyway, let me just assume you are. Makhan means butter. And Chor means thief. Krishna would steal the butter. That's naughty. But Krishna would steal the butter and eat the butter. So he's known as Makhan Chor. And sometimes people question, if Krishna is God, he's such a great person, just unique, most exalted person, what is he doing stealing butter? It seems like a great contradiction. But it is not. Let me just briefly explain why, and then I think you'll understand the point. It's a very interesting point. In that village, it was a cowherding village. Everyone there was, they all had little herds of big herds of cows. And the cows themselves were very attached to Krishna. They loved Krishna. Wherever Krishna went, the cows would follow him. Because they were very attached to Krishna. And the cows, the mother cows, they were always thinking, we want Krishna to get our milk. They were thinking like that. The cows were thinking like that. And then the ladies, the married ladies, they would milk the cows. And when they were milking the cows, they were all thinking, we want Krishna to get this milk. And so then they get so many liters and liters and liters of milk, and they would convert some of the villages, yogurts, they take some cream out, and they make different dairy products. I'm sure they made a nasi asakai too. Yes. I must say it was rather nice. Anyway. So they may would make from the yogurts, from some of the yogurts, they would make butter. Nowadays, the butter you buy in the shop is made from cream. So it's very rich. And, you know, you can develop a cholesterol problem if you eat too much of that butter. But when you make butter out of yogurt, then it's much lighter, and actually that butter is white. Butter made from yogurt is white, and it doesn't have so much fat and all that sort of thing. So anyway, those ladies, as they were churning the yogurt to make butter, all of them were thinking, we want Krishna to get this butter. That was their heart's desire. We want this butter to be for Krishna's pleasure. But there was a domestic problem. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. The problem was, if they gave Krishna all the butter, their husbands would complain. Because that's how they were making a living. Not exactly selling it, but trading it. They were trading their butter and other dairy products for vegetables and so on. So, they wanted to give the butter to Krishna because they knew Krishna was fond of butter. But they were restricted because they were worried how their husbands react. Maybe there would be divorce. And in those days, there were no divorce laws. So, and why? Why did Krishna want to get the butter? Not just because he liked eating butter, but because the love, first of all, the love of the cows, and then the love of the ladies who made the butter, their love went into the butter. That butter was saturated with love. And Krishna, he wants to taste our love. He doesn't really need our money. His wife is Lakshmi. He's already got plenty of money, you don't need to worry about that. But our love, he is after our love. And in this world, everyone is keeping their love back from God and giving their love to just ordinary people of their country or whatever it is. But Krishna wants our love. He wants to taste our love, and he wants to taste the love of those cows and the ladies. The love which was in the butter. But because the husbands were opposed to the idea of just giving him butter, and the ladies didn't really know what to do about it, so to make a solution to get the butter into their love without getting the ladies into trouble, Krishna stole the butter. You follow the idea? He stole the butter. So he got their love, but they didn't get into trouble. Rather, he got into trouble. He got into trouble, but he didn't mind. Because on one hand, he's protecting his devotees so they don't get into trouble. On the other hand, he's ravishing their love, which is in the matter. So if you follow the idea, I think you'll find it very nice that Krishna was laughing short, singing the butter, but it's not something bad, actually something very beautiful. And after all, he has the right, because he is God. And he owns everything, so he has the rights. Yes, so like this. But still, there was controversy in the village because Krishna was stealing the butter. The husbands would get upset. And there was controversy there. So, Mother Yashoda, the mother of Krishna, she was in anxiety that my little boy Krishna, there are all these people who are upset with him because of how he's stealing the butter. And she did not really understand what I was just explaining about wanting to get their love in the butter. That's a little more complicated side of things. She just thought, Mother Yashoda thought, that if I do not train my boy, Krishna, at this young age, he is going to grow up bad. Just like when I first came to South Africa in January 1980, and I came to Chatsworth, and I found out about one of the local cultural phenomena. It was called the corner boys. You know what I mean by the corner boys? They may have become extinct as a species in sin, I'm not sure, but they were very famous. 40 years ago, the corner boys on the corner smoking in Dhaka and just being a bit useless. So Mother Yashoda was afraid that my son is going to grow up to become a corner boy. And he'll walk as a way they walk, right? I heard about that. Maybe it was too young to know about these things. But I saw them. Maybe he's going to grow up to become a corner boy and become like a small time criminal. And she thought, maybe he will become the head of the Makan Mafia. Now he will steal the butter. In the future he may steal, well, not motor cars, because they didn't have motor cars, but like buffalo cars. Or, you know, ox cars. He'll hijack people and steal their buffalo cars. Something like that, and become a real crook. So she wanted, in her mood of motherly concern, thinking that Krishna is just my son, although he is God, but the relationship of love was like that. She wanted to discipline Krishna and correct Krishna, give him some guidance and put them on the right track. So, you know, it's a long story, but basically what happened was that Krishna did something really naughty. She was churning, she had a bit like a 25-liter pot of yogurt. She She was churning it to make butter. And she got distracted. She was breastfeeding Krishna while she was churning. But then she got distracted by some other important thing that happened. So milk was boiling over. And you must know, and I should remind you, milk is considered liquid religiosity. If we waste milk, you get bad karma. It's not good. You get some bad luck will come your way. Bad rupee. So she didn't want the milk to boil over. So she breastfeeding Krishna, churning the yogurt, milk boiling over. She just dropped her churning paraphernalia, just put Krishna down, just down on the ground, and off she went. And Krishna, in the mood of the exchange between mother and child, Krishna became apparently angry. Apparently angry. He's God. But he has the same emotions we have. He is the source of our emotions. So he became a little apparently angry and broke that 25-liter pot of yogurt, which was half yogurt and some butter. It was in the process. He broke it, and out came all the stuff, and it made a big mess. And Mother Yashoda returned and saw the mess, and she thought, this is too much. I have to sort this boy out. He can't go on like this. So she thought, let me punish him, discipline him, train him by tying him up. Not hitting him, but tying him up and restricting him. So he can't just do what he wants, he's stuck for some time. Just so he gets the message that he shouldn't be like that. So, like I said, it's a long story. She had to chase him. But he is God. Who could catch God if he doesn't want to be caught? She couldn't catch him. But as she was trying, but not able to catch him, her movement of motherly, loving concern just increased and increased. Until it just overflowed. And when that movement of motherly, loving concern overflowed, it overpowered Krishna. And then she was able to catch Krishna. That same Krishna, God, who people are praying to get a little mercy from, she caught him and she tied him up. Controlling Krishna. Krishna, who is the supreme controller. She, through her love and her motherly concern, she controlled Krishna and tied him up. How powerful is Mother Yashoda? How powerful. But it's not exactly her power, it is the power of her love. So, during this month, we celebrate this particular event, which I just described, Mother Yashoda tying up Krishna. And I don't know. Are we going to offer lamps? We are. Yeah, every night for this whole lunar month, which means 4 weeks or slightly more than 4 weeks, we offer lamps to Krishna and Yashoda together. And Mother Yashoda is tying Krishna, and we offer lamps to them. And this goes on for the whole month. For the whole month, we are celebrating this particular pastime, which is a very important point in and of itself. You know, we're celebrating it for a month, observing it for a month, every day offering thanks, every day for a month. This means it's a very important festival. How many festivals do you celebrate for a month? Even, you know, Diwali is coming up, right? Is it tomorrow or Monday or whatever it is? It's one day. One day you need to say Jesus, you know. Krishna Janmashtami, one day. On Tuesday, Govardhan Puja, one day. Ram Navami, the appearance day of Ram. One day. Generally, these things are one day. Sometimes there are a few days. But this is one month. This is one month. This means it's very important. And it is a very important lesson for us to learn from this. We should learn, first of all, that if we want to get the mercy of the Lord, we have to develop love for Him. And what does that mean, develop love for Him? It's not just a sentiment or emotion. It means we have to engage in His service. Glorify Him. Cook food and offer it to Him. Attend programs like this, which is a form of service to the Lord. We should, because we're celebrating Mother Yashoda's love and her service to Krishna, of trying to bring him up to be a good boy. And we should try and take this message into our hearts and see how we can develop our relationship with Krishna. Not just relationship in the sense that I ask for something and I expect him to give something. There was one American politician actually said, don't think what your country can do for you. Think what you can do for your country. That's just a material example. But in our case, try not to just think, what will Krishna do for me? But rather try to think, what can I do for him? And then you'll get his mercy. Then you'll get his mercy unlimitedly. It's very amazing. Okay, so please, you know we have our programs every week at the temple just down the way there, the nice temple on the hill. If you want to learn, if you're not already involved, please come to the programs every Tuesday. Every Tuesday? Thursday. Thursday, sorry. Every Thursday. And you can learn how to engage in Krishna's service. And in that way, get special mercy from Krishna. And in this way, your life, oh, it will revolutionize your life, actually. So I have three questions here. Let's just quickly try to answer the questions, and then we'll carry on with the program. What is the significance of offering a lamb to Lord Damodara? Well, you know, it is really just a vehicle for us to express, to focus and express some appreciation for the Lord. It's not that he's feeling cold and it leaves a flame to warm the lamp or something. That was it. If a family in our service group, we call it a namaha, if they are enthusiastic but not following the four regulative principles, and they would like to perform arati, can they do it or not? Well, at home, they can do it. In fact, at home, they should do it. It's not that first of all you become pure, then you can do these things. If we do these things, then we will become pure. Like even some people think about chanting Hare Krishna. First of all, I must give up eating meat and give up drinking mainstay and give up smoking dhaka and give up going to the TAB. You call it a TAB, yeah? You go to the Yeah, you know what I mean. And, it's no more rock melons. And then I can chant Hare Krishna. Once I figure out, you know, all these things, then I can chant Hare Krishna. No, you please chant Hare Krishna now. And then gradually you'll find your interest in those things will just fall away. One of our devotees a few years ago actually told me how he was a fairly new devotee a year or maybe a couple of years. And he had met an old friend who he hadn't seen for a while since he became a devotee. He hadn't seen the person. And the person, the old friend, said, "Oh, you're a Hare Krishna. But Hare Krishna is a vegetarian, isn't it?" "Yes." "Well, how did you give up meat? How did you give up meat?" And the devotee gave a very interesting answer. This is the verse. The devotee said, "Actually, I did not give up meat. Meat gave up me." Means after a while, he just lost interest. It just wasn't part of his perspective on life any longer. It just fell away. So yeah, if we chant, if we serve Krishna, if we engage in the process, particularly chanting Hare Krishna, these things fall away. Okay, last question. Who are the deities on the altar here with both hands up? Well, I think you can see them from there. This is Lord Chaitanya on my side and Lord Nityananda on the other side. And they are the most recent incarnations of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, and Nityananda on the other side is Balaram. When Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, Balaram, who is an expansion of his, appeared with him. So they have appeared together again, Krishna and Balaram. But about roughly 500 years ago, Krishna and Balaram appeared again as Lord Chaitanya on my side and Lord Nityananda on the other side. And their particular purpose is that they came and introduced and demonstrated what is called the Yuga Dharma for this age, the particular religious activity which is recommended, which should be performed at this particular point in time, which is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. In previous ages, there were other activities which were recommended, like silent meditation, fire, sacrifice, oven, like this. But in this age, Kali Yuga, the process is to chant the holy names, particularly the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So there you go, friends and devotees. Please try to take this up. I mean, for the rest of this month, you've got a couple of weeks or thereabouts left. You can even attend our programs on the Thursdays down the road there. But at home, you can offer lamps. You can offer lamps every night. Family can get together, and instead of watching TV, you can have a little service at home. Yeah? Instead of watching what? Kirti Bapu? Is it still going? What do they call it? Anyway, you know it is a thing. What is it, Lady Jane? Okay? What's that now? Okay, we don't have it too much. You know what I'm saying? Instead of that, you know, instead of that, focus on the Lord, do some service, offer a man to him for his pleasure as a gesture of appreciation. In this way, and attend our programs, in this way, start to really develop a relationship with the Lord, and in this way, start to get some real mercy from the Lord, which will help you and just in my belief so much in your life. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Okay.
Thank you very much for that wonderful class. Can we all put our hands together and give them a round? Before we leave, we have a small cake that we would like for you to all have.
Oh!